This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Welcome to episode 50 of the Women's Running Podcast and our 17th workshop. We're celebrating our 50th episode by chatting about random stuff with a bit of running thrown in, as ever. We're a couple of weeks away from our 10K and half marathon races in the middle of August, so that is firmly top of the agenda, although it's not, as the first thing we talk about is how beautiful Holly's mug is. Not her face, although that too is very beautiful, but her actual mug of tea. You can't see this, so you'll just have to believe me. What we mainly talk about here, though, is race day nerves and all the various worries we have that constitute that. So that's worrying about our sluggish pace and also worrying about what other people might think, as well as our concerns about actually going the distance. So we talk about how to combat those nerves, how to be confident in our own training and how to dampen down our own inner negative voices. Also, as we both agree, when we see other runners, we think they're brilliant. So surely other people think we're brilliant too when they see us. I think this is true. We also talk about my many visits to the physio, ignoring his lovely and brilliant advice and somehow surviving anyway. I describe sciatica to Holly, who is too young and flexible to understand what back pain is yet. And we also talk about love bites. Again, Holly is far too young to understand this very 80s phenomenon. Lucky her. This episode is sponsored by Brooks, which is rather brilliant. Why? Because not only have Brooks created Holly's favourite running shoe, the Ghost 14, but they're also giving us two pairs of Ghost 14s to give away. To you guys. The newly launched Ghost 14 now benefits from 100% DNA loft cushioning for a super smooth ride, a segmented crash pad for seamless transitions, and 3D fit print technology in the upper, so the fit is absolutely spot on. All that means that they're soft, they're responsive, they're smooth, and they fit like a glove. The Ghost 14 is also, get this, Brooks' very first carbon neutral shoe, so it's a very special thing indeed. To be in with a chance of winning one of two pairs, go to womensrunning.co.uk/ghost14 and answer a very silly question. Find out more about the Ghost 14 at brooksrunning.co.uk.
How are you? How was the rest of yesterday and today?
It was good. Yeah, I feel like it's all been a little bit of a whirlwind of busy, both work and life at the moment.
Yeah.
And that just with like things opening up and seeing lots of people, and it's all been a bit nice, really nice. But I'm looking forward to a few days of not seeing anybody at all.
Oh, God, I'm jealous because we've got camping.
Yeah, you've got camping this weekend.
Oh, God. And I think I'm supposed to be really excited about camping to begin with and seeing people that we've not seen for a couple of years. I'm really used to just staying in. I'm really used to not having anything. And so like last weekend, we all we did was try and remove all the moths from the children's bedroom and take loads of stuff to the charity shop. And it was brilliant. Like, I had the best time.
Those are the best weekends. It's really strange, isn't it? Because when I was in them, I was so, so bored of just not having any plans at all, yeah, and having to kind of make fun all the time. But actually, in the end, the fun that I kind of made for myself, I was loving. Like, we did so many things like puzzles and like board games and stuff that I would never have bothered to do in previous times. And I can't remember the last time I spent a weekend just doing a puzzle and drinking tea and not speaking to anyone.
It's just great, isn't it? I love it.
Yeah,
same. That said, I am going to the pub tonight, and that is probably... Well, I've been outside in pub gardens and had food and stuff, but I've not been to a pub like for drinking.
Yeah.
For a very, very, very long time. So that'll be nice.
Nice. Well, I hope you're hungover in a lovely way tomorrow. The kind of way you get to do, you feel okay still, but you have the excuse of, I need a bacon sandwich or a greasy breakfast.
Yeah.
You have that? Those are my favorite kinds, where I feel wobbly enough that I think, oh, I definitely need something. I definitely need chips or something, but not wobbly enough that I'm actually going to be sick and have a horrible day.
Yeah. I don't want to do that. The sick thing. I just, to just kind of think to yourself, you know what? I will just eat a little bit more.
Yeah. Those are the best kind, and you've got every excuse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nicely tired with fun, but not like feeling awful.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So let's talk about running.
Yes.
Let's talk about running. I've got stories to tell, and I'm sure you do too.
I do.
We have our 15th of August date in the diary, which is in 3 weekends' time.
That's fine, actually. That's more weekends than I thought.
Yeah. I mean, it's not 3 weeks, it's 3 weekends. So just bear that in mind.
Okay. So we're looking at, it's like 2.5 weeks away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And ideally, one of those, you know, the last week would be a bit of a taper. But I think going into a 10K, I don't think you need to worry about tapering particularly.
Yeah.
And
so, I just spent all of lockdown tapering. So.
Oh, that's quite the taper. Yeah. So, so how's your running been? Go through that. Tell me.
It's not too bad. That's why I've got absolutely horrible hair right now, actually, because I've just been this morning for a long ish, though wasn't massively long because I should have done it on the weekend. So it's good and bad things this week. Good things to report. Well, last week I felt like my middle of the week runs were really, really good. Mm-hmm. Like, I did a nice gentle plod. That wasn't particularly exciting, but I got up and did it. So I had the usual smugness of feeling pleased that I did.
Nice.
And then I did some hill sprints for my kind of technical run. And then this week, I think I was supposed to be this long run weekend, I think I was supposed to be on like 6K or something.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really busy weekend and I didn't plan around it properly. I kept being like, I'll definitely have an hour or two to do my run. It'll be fine. Mm. And then I didn't actually plan that time in before. So the weekend came and went, and I've just done my on Wednesday. Oh, I've just done my long run, Mrs. Procrastination, this morning, but it wasn't massively long. It wasn't 6K. I think I did about 3 and a bit.
Yeah.
3.5 or something.
Yeah.
And which isn't long at all, but that was my fault because I just forget how slow I am. I forget that my pace is a lot slower than when I used to run before. Mm. So I set out thinking, right, I've got half an hour to do a 5K. That's fine. That's all it takes me. And then realized that, no, it doesn't. So suddenly I had to go, oh God, I've got to run home now. Otherwise I'm going to be late for work. So I think I might need to attempt that again tomorrow or Friday or something. But I'm actually feeling relatively good, because even though it was cut short by the fact that I needed to get on with life, it was actually a really nice run and I ran the whole thing and I wasn't dying, and I'm feeling a lot more confident about the idea of 10K now.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think one of the nicest things that well, Tina says lots of lovely things to me, but I remember one of the nice things that she said to me was, instead of seeing, it's very easy to look at your training week by week. So you think, oh, I must do my long run over the weekend and then must fit in, you know, 2-3 runs or whatever during the week. But instead of seeing it in weeks, but to see it kind of as an arc of over maybe 2 weeks or maybe even 3 weeks. So I'm away this weekend. I'm away Friday afternoon until Monday evening. And I probably can't run. The idea of going for a run while you're camping with no like nice shower facilities that don't have like muddy feet and other people's hair on the walls doesn't feel brilliantly amazing. So I probably won't run for a good couple of days. So instead, I'm looking at kind of the next 2 weeks and where I can position those running, those bits of running.
Yeah.
And the week after, actually, I'm going to go to Hove to see my mum. So I'm going to need to do my long runs early morning on a Friday, and maybe not quite as long as I would have hoped if I had like kind of the luxury of a morning, but just trying to kind of arrange it around life rather than arranging life around running at the moment.
Exactly. I think that's what I slightly failed to do last weekend, because I completely forgotten about needing to do that, because we haven't had to do that for such a long time.
Oh, I know.
This is the first weekend I've been away and stuff, but I've not had a weekend where I've had sort of something on every evening that's meant that people are having drinks and going to bed late, and then something on in the day, the next day as well. And it just completely rammed with joys, definitely with joys, but just didn't really properly plan that. And then the last 2 days at work, I've spent going, oh, I need to run on my lunch break. And then other things have happened and I've not done it. So I got it this morning and I did it and I'm pleased that I did. But I do need to remember that I need to actually get up early. Mm-hmm. Not just get up at usual time if I want to do a long run in the week. But I'm feeling all right about it, because this weekend, unlike you with camping, I've got the luxury of a weekend where I've not really got much going on. So I think I'm 7K this weekend, which I'm feeling a lot more confident about now that I've done half of that this morning, and actually would have quite liked to have carried on and done the other half, but I had to come to run back. I'm feeling a lot more relaxed about it. The only thing I'm a little bit gutted about at the moment is just my pace. I think my plod is doing good. I can keep plodding for quite a long time without having to stop or walk, but my pace is just that of somebody with a Zimmer frame.
I'm gonna have to say I'm exactly the same at the moment. My pace is rubbish. So I was gonna sort of give you all the platitudes of like, don't worry about pace, just, you know.
But it does feel a bit crap, doesn't it? Yeah. When you look at old runs that you did and you go, what's happening? Because I feel like I'm pushing myself as much as I felt like I was. And I think this morning I just felt a bit cross about it, because I knew I was on limited time. Mm-hmm. And so I was making a conscious effort to run what I thought was quite fast. And then I got home and looked at my Strava and realized it was not fast at all.
I'm having a real problem with pace. But then to bring it back to me, which is, you know, my favorite subject.
No, do please, because I've been banging on about myself for ages.
No, go for it. I'm also really enjoying your mug at the moment. It's lovely.
Thank you. Sorry to the listener if I'm doing annoying sipping, but I'm just having a nice cup of tea. It's from Tiger, this mug.
Gorgeous mug. I can't compete with that, so I'm going to hide my mug. My running has, I had a bit of a knock because I had an injury. And I think the last time we chatted, I was going to go to a physio. And I did. The loveliest physio, chap called Richard. He's really, really nice. I had a couple of things going on. I've had sciatica because I sit like a crazy person and I have a terrible back. But also,
what's sciatica? Quickly tell me about that.
The young people, they don't know what sciatica is. you have this to come, Hol. Because I have lower back issues, sciatica is kind of referred pain. So you kind of, it's not very nice. You can feel sciatica kind of usually, I think, and I'm making this up now. So I'm going to talk about what my sciatica is. I think other people have different experiences. I think probably it usually stems from a back problem. And you feel the pain, instead of in your back, you feel it down your bum and the back of your legs.
Oh, okay.
And you have this kind of referred pain. And when I've had it really badly, like when I had a slip disc, I felt it down in my ankles and feet. And the lower down you feel it, the worse it is, kind of thing.
Oh, that's
at the moment, I'm just having, it's not nice. At the moment, I'm just having kind of niggly, kind of sciatic, kind of horrid things, but just kind of in my bum and kind of upper sort of, in fact, I couldn't kind of figure out whether it's hamstrings or this kind of sciatic pain. Anyway, so he was amazing. Mm. And did some kind of manipulation and kind of prodding around. But my kind of my running injury was something to do with, you know, you've got two bones in your lower leg from your knee to your ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to do with the ligament at the top that holds them two together. And it was quite a minor injury. So it wasn't stopping me running, but running felt weird. And when I was going on a long, long run, I would then have a sort of pain in my calf, which I was quite worried about. But it wasn't pain that made me think, "Ooh, I've pulled something."
Mm.
And it would generally sort of ease off, kind of thing. So I knew it wasn't really serious, but I wanted to get it checked out before it got worse. And he was great, but it meant that about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I didn't run for about 8 days, which is quite a gap for me. But not as big a gap as you can have when you've got an injury. So I was quite thankful for that.
Mm.
But before then, I'd been for a couple of long runs. So I'd done like a 12 and a 14 miler at weekends in the lead up to the half marathon I'm doing in August, but also kind of keeping an eye on the marathon in October. Yeah. So I'd done these two long runs and that had exacerbated the problem stupidly. But I had noticed that my running had just got kind of slower, more difficult.
Mm.
It felt hard to get going, kind of thing. Anyway, so I had this kind of 8 days off, and then I started running again last week and doing little runs, 2 miles, 3 miles. That was it.
I've been loving those. I'm absolutely loving just doing like 2 miles and then feeling amazing.
Well, I wasn't. I think that was kind of the problem.
Oh, really?
But it just feels like running through treacle. And I think today is the first day when I went for a run this morning, but it didn't feel like that. But it's almost like the first kind of 10, 20 meters, it feels really hard to get going.
Mm.
And then when I run, I'm running a lot slower and I can feel my arms doing a lot of the work.
Mm.
So I feel like I'm running like Felix, you know, all elbows out like a 6-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that my legs aren't really doing what they like I'm running in a dream hole. You know, the treacle dreams?
Yes.
You can't escape the monsters.
This is awful and very dark, but I have them where I'm trying to punch someone in the face.
I have those and you can't punch.
And you can't punch. And it's like someone it's not like my mum or anything. It's like a nasty person that is scaring me in my dream or something. And I'm trying to like punch them away. How weird. I've never known anyone else have that.
I've had that.
I've described that before, like, and literally people have thought I'm mad.
And I wake up feeling humiliated that I'm unable to do it.
Yes.
This very, very slow arm trying to kind of come around.
Yes, and it almost like stopping short sort of just of their face.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get them away.
And you're sort of screaming and flailing, but you can't flail very much.
Because you're in treacle.
Exactly that. And that's how my legs feel at the moment. And so I did... My physio said to me last week, he said, don't run more than 3 miles in the lead up to the half marathon. Like literally, he was saying, don't train longer than 3 miles in the lead up to the half marathon.
That sounds absolutely lovely.
It does sound lovely. But I did what I normally do with physios, which is I rate them highly as people and professionals, but I ignore their advice. So I ran 10 miles at the weekend.
I mean, it is hard because I'm sure he's saying that to you as somebody who's very capable of half marathon distance.
Mm.
But if that were me and I were running, even with the 10K, if, you know, saying only run 3 miles, no, because I need to have a good dress rehearsal.
Yeah, you need the confidence, don't you?
Yeah.
You need the confidence. Yeah. Like I was thinking about Catherine Switzer saying when she was giving marathon advice for us, and she said, like, you know, most marathon training plans take you up to 18 or 20 miles if you're a newbie. And she was saying that she recommended going just a little bit over 20, just so that you got the confidence to know that even if it's 20.1. And I thoroughly stand by that. So I'm definitely doing that again.
6 miles, the extra 6 miles, that's, you know, 6 miles is a lot. And when you're tired, I don't want to freak anybody out who's doing a marathon soon. Yeah. But it's a lot. That's a 10K. And, you know, at the moment, I'm finding that tough enough to train for. I think I would definitely want the reassurance, just 22 or something, to know that I had... a bit less left to gamble on.
Yeah, absolutely. Just something. But she, anyway, so I did it and it felt okay. I could feel the calf kind of creeping. But when you have a little injury, it makes you hyper aware of other little feelings in your body. So for maybe a couple of miles of it, I was like, oh, have I got a stress fracture in my left foot? And then that kind of went away and I forgot about it. And then it was like, oh, maybe that's not a calf. Maybe it's a shin splint. You know, I catastrophize all my injuries. And so that was kind of doing a bit of a mushroom cloud above my head. So I didn't enjoy it particularly. But I came back. I immediately had a magnesium salt bath. And I had no niggles, no DOMS, no nothing. And I couldn't feel my calf. So I actually felt all right. Then I went for a little short run yesterday as my recovery. And again, it felt like running in treacle, but I had no pain. And then today was my first technical run in months. I did hills.
Nice. And
I think it was horrible because it was raining and I don't like doing hill intervals. It's no fun, is it?
It's not fun. It's dull. I have to put a really interesting podcast on and just go up and down and try not to think about it.
It's also really painful. So it's just
nasty. I do quite like how sort of professional I look, though.
Oh, yeah. There is something about that. Yeah.
There's something quite nice about going, look at me going up and down the same bit and sort of stretching at the bottom and then really setting off when I'm going back uphill, that feels slightly more like...
an athlete.
Yeah, like an athlete than if I'm just plodding along. When cars go past, I'm like, yes, I know.
So I did have that feeling. So that was good. But I also had the pain, which I didn't. But my injury felt as though it was fading slightly.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, so that was good. But I've got an injury to show you.
Oh, can I know, see? Right?
Yeah, now.
Oh, okay. So yesterday, this is actually take two at the podcast, isn't it? So
yeah.
Sorry, this will sound completely random based on what you've just shown me, but there is a conclusion. This is take two. We tried to record the podcast yesterday and it wasn't playing ball at all.
No.
But so I feel like we've already said this, but we haven't. We saw each other in person yesterday.
We did.
Which was lush. And we went for a coffee and we met our lovely Kate, who neither of us have met in person because she only joined our team during lockdown. And I now am going to repeat the same joke that we've done about eight times now, but that we were worrying that she was going to be 10 feet tall or was going to be I think we might have even said that she might have been a centaur because we'd only seen her from the waist up until yesterday.
I forgot an answer to that one.
She was a real woman. Anyway, I thought I spotted it yesterday. Can I guess? Because I was like, I think I know where S has got that from.
Okay.
Sorry if that's really creepy that I was looking at you like that. No, I was creepy. I know what that is.
I needed to flag it up because what I'm concerned about is that someone might think that I've got a love bite.
Originally I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, I think I know what that is.
but the more I thought about people thinking that I had a love bite, the more I thought, I don't think that anyone has had a love bite since about 1984.
No,
that kind of that practice went out with the cassette.
So yeah, I've never had one in my life.
There we go.
Yeah,
there we go.
Not interested in them.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I wasn't entirely sure you'd know what one was.
No, I think I'm aware of them in pop culture.
I thought it'd be like, you know, Love Bites, Betamax, you know, El Dorado, those things. That are not
yeah,
part
all
of
things
your
that
cultural.
I'm almost entirely unfamiliar with. Yeah.
So this is a chafe wound.
I knew it was a chafe wound. I knew it was a chafe wound. Is it from your hydration pack?
It is from my hydration pack, yes.
I nailed it. Forensic running injury specialists, as we are.
Indeed we are. Indeed we are. So, yeah, that'll teach me not to use my anti-chafe. So I'm going to try and remember to do that. It's because it wasn't hot enough to wear factor 50. It wasn't sunny enough to wear factor 50, which would all immediately make me think, oh, I must put cream here and then put cream here, kind of thing. But it was too warm for me to wear my kind of collared top, which I really like, which protects my the love bite area. So
I have to admit, I've been putting off wearing my, which is entirely counterproductive, I've been putting off wearing my hydration pack over the last week or two of running as well, because it's been so bloody warm.
Have you worn it at all?
I've worn it once.
Holly, honestly,
I know, I really, really need to give it a dress. I was like, I'm going to do it on my long run this weekend.
Yeah.
I put off wearing it this week because I've been wearing t-shirts. I also am usually a long sleeve runner. So the time I've worn it before, I wore it with long sleeve and that was fine because it didn't, but without, it chafes because I put it on to go and then taken it off in a panic last minute because it chafes under my arm.
Yeah.
And that really soft bit of skin, and it's really painful.
That's the other place I get it. Yeah, the super soft bit. Yeah, I always get a mark there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I threw it. I didn't throw it away, but I threw it off my body and was like, off I go. I'm not bothering with that. Yeah. So this weekend it will get its proper first outing with short sleeve t-shirt because I've bought myself some Body Glide stuff.
Nice.
So that it doesn't that.
Yes. Yeah. Good. Good. And then one thing, because we talked about this yesterday, but the one thing I wanted to talk about today, because we've got our we've got this race in 3 weekends time, which I think I'm really looking forward to, because I can't, in my head I'm sort of hoping it's going to be relaxed and not a huge amount of people, but I mean it will be in the hundreds, so enough to
that's what I'm nervous about. Fewer people immediately, a much higher chance of coming last.
For sure. So, and I remembered that from one of the last times that we spoke. And so I wanted to talk about race nerves, because they can be for all sorts of reasons. It can be that thing. And I was looking it up and it was kind of, it's the fear of the outcome of the race, fear of failing. Worrying what others might think, and those can be the sort of the three biggies really.
Yeah. So it's what kind happens of, if you've got all three absolutely coming out of your ear holes?
Yeah. So when I've looked into it, I guess let's address each of those things. So
yeah,
the outcome. Okay, so fear of what happens in the end, right? So what are you worried about in terms of the end of the race?
I think it's a bit of a new one for me, because I wasn't too worried when we did the Bath Half, which is the only other time, apart from a couple of like Race for Life and stuff that I did when I was younger, that I've done a proper race where there is an audience and a finish line and a medal at the end and all sorts of slightly scary but quite exciting things. I don't think I was as worried, because I knew that there were going to be, well, I knew there weren't going to be a massive amount of people watching compared to usual because of COVID. It was right at the beginning. We just got away with it, didn't we? But it was about a week before lockdown kicked in, so there weren't a huge amount of people.
Yeah,
there was still enough, but then they were all kind of people that I knew, the people I was looking out for. And we had a really nice cheerleading squad because we did it with Bath Mind and they were there in a big old bus. And so I was less anxious about that. And I knew there were so many people running and there would be countless people dressed as penguins and stuff, that I knew that I'd done my revision and it was going to be okay, because I'd properly done the training and I was feeling confident about it. And I wasn't massively fast. I think I fell sort of lower middle of the pack, maybe lower than lower middle, but I was fine. I think it's just because I think it is more tied in with the fear of what people will think.
Yeah.
Thing that in this one, I'm nervous because there's not so many people. It's in waves, which obviously we can't, you kind of have in other races. Like you have your pen, don't you? Yeah. And you go off with your, so I've put myself in like the last one. I've gone, I'm going to take the longest out of everybody because I really, really want to be in with a group of people who are a similar pace as me. And at the moment I know that pace is quite slow. So even if I end up doing it slightly faster than what I kind of projected on the, as my race time, I put myself in like the second to last or last wave of people.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will make things more relaxed, but then also that means that I will be setting off last. So once again, probability of last place is increasing.
Well, I don't think they'll, like, number one, okay. So let's think about those outcomes. First of all, I wanted to talk about the fear of what other people think of you. So that kind of concern. And I think that's a really, really tricky one because you can't predict what other people will think. But okay. So there's a number of things here. Firstly, if they're thinking something, it doesn't matter because you can't hear it or see it. So people can think whatever they want. That's fine.
And what they think of you is none of your business.
Exactly.
As RuPaul would say.
But the other thing that I wanted to bring up, because I've talked about this with Strava with you before, is what do you think of other runners when you see them?
Oh my gosh, I always think how they are speedier than me. They look like they've done it far more often than I have. Whenever I see someone on Strava, I think that they're better than I am at running.
Well, what I mean is, like, if you're out and you see someone, specifically a woman, if you see a woman running and you're not...
In the flesh.
In the flesh, What are your thoughts when you see a female runner?
Oh, I'm just thinking, go on, gal.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I think. And sometimes I verbalize it and sometimes it's just in my head. But I think about it generally. If I see any runner, a man or a woman, I tend to sort of think, go on then. And I think about it more if I see someone running uphill.
Yeah.
I think, wow. I think
somebody when I was doing my hill sprints the other day, a woman on her bike as she was going past gave me a little like woohoo.
Oh, that's nice.
I loved it.
And I think about it a lot with people that don't, I know this is a ridiculous phrase because if you're a runner, if you run, you're a runner, but people that don't look classically like an athlete, say, so a normal person running, if they're running, and we drive past them or I walk past them, I do just think, go on, girl, you know, that's good. And so I think I can't be the only one. So what I'm trying to sort of say to you is if we think that about runners, then other people must think that about us. So if we're going to project any sort of thought into someone else as they're looking at us when we're running, just think they're going to feel as encouraging as we feel when we see other runners.
Yeah.
So let's not think about what other people, and think about the park run mentality, which is now so pervasive in a really lovely way, where with park run, it's about, you know, walk, run, jog. They always have a tail walker. No one comes last. It's just such a lovely feeling, you know, and Relish Running, which is the organization that has organized the race that we're going to do on the 15th. Remember that on that day, I believe there's an ultra, a marathon, a half, a 10 and a 5. So lots of people are going to be with you running lots of different races, and some of them will be running, they will be on their feet for 5, 6, 7 hours.
Yeah.
There's no way that you will come last.
That's true. That's actually very true. I'd forgotten about that there's going to be other races going on. Basically, it comes down to not being so self-centered a bit, doesn't it? It's like no one really cares you know, everybody thinks they're the protagonist, don't they? Mm-hmm. But everybody's much more interested in themselves than they are in you. They're going to be worrying about their own time and whether their tracker worked and where their t-shirt is at the finish line and what they're going to have for their lunch afterwards.
Exactly.
Than they are at going, oh, look at that girl, she's come last, what a lump.
But, yeah, exactly. And I you know, I think about it when I do boot camp, I am by far the most rubbish at boot camp, I would say.
Do you think?
Oh my God.
I never think of you as the most rubbish at sporty things.
Oh, I'm so slow and weak wristed, you know, just kind of a sort of pathetic kind of creature. And so I occasionally sneak glances at other people who are doing their burpees next to me or whatever. Very, very athletic people going really, really fast. And I see them. And I think to myself, oh, I've only done 4 burpees in the time it's taken them to do 10. But then if you look at their faces, what they're concentrating on is not, oh, I've done 10 burpees and she's done 4, but I need to do my 10 burpees. They're just concentrating on that thing.
Yeah, that's what everyone's doing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the beauty of parkrun, and what I was trying to say about the relish running thing, is of a slightly smaller, I'm sure that, you know, people do it in huge races as well, but the smaller race enables people to finish their run, turn around and become part of the crowd and continue cheering on the people that are coming in.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to finishing and then being able to stand at the finish line of your half marathon and be like,
oh
yeah, that's going to be so, so nice.
You see? I think, first of all, let's not put thoughts into other people's heads unless they're nice thoughts. Mm-hmm. Secondly, let's visualize that finish bit. Visualize the last sort of 10 meters. Can you see how I've transitioned from yards to meters? I'm trying to be metric these days.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure.
As once again, what's a yard?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. it's slightly shorter than a furlong. Anyway.
It's all cleared up for me now.
Oh, good, good. and possibly a little shorter than a nautical mile. Consider that last sort of 10 metres. Think about how it feels when you can see the finish line and how it's going to feel to have that water, have that snack, and then turn around and give a few cheers to the people that are coming in behind you,
yeah.
Of which there will be legion.
So, yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. It's not about me and me feeling sorry for myself coming whatever position. It's about all the people who have gone before that deserve a pat on the back and all the people still going that deserve a cheer.
Exactly.
Yeah. And of course, most importantly, it's about roast potatoes or whatever else I decide. Maybe in summertime it's not. Maybe it might be chips. I've never thought about what I'm going to eat after my race in summer before.
Well, this segues rather nicely into planning for the day.
Yes.
So what I was going to suggest also is another thing that really, really helps with race day is prep.
Mm.
So yes, think about what you're going to eat afterwards, but also think about how you're going to get there and how you're going to get home, and what time you need to leave in order to give you lots of time when you're there before you start, so you don't get worried. What you don't want to be doing is rushing.
Yeah.
So it's planning all of that and planning precisely the time you're going to be leaving your front door, and also planning what you're going to wear, what you're going to bring with you.
Yeah.
Getting that all sorted and making sure by like the Wednesday before that weekend that you've got everything.
You don't have to worry about it.
You don't worry about it. So you don't run in your favorite socks on Wednesday or Thursday before the race. You know, run in your second favorite so that you've got your favorite ones all washed and ready. And the same with all the rest of your bits of outfit. Run in the crap leggings, don't run in the best ones. But your final last run in everything that you're... So the weekend before, run in everything you're going to run in on the day. So run in the right leggings, carrying everything that you're going to do. It's a total dress rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely fail to do that every single time. Every single time. I'm such a twit. I've been running in for our half marathon, I did it. For London Marathon, I did it. Both times I wore new leggings. And I don't know what possessed me. And the irritating thing about that is that I wore new leggings that were too shiny. And I picked them up and like, ooh, shiny leggings. And mm-hmm. I put them on and I think, ooh, they look nice. But because I've not tried them with my usual other bits and pieces, like my vest rides up shiny leggings. I've just worked. And actually, it's better to just wear my old ones a bit scruffy around the bum.
Yeah.
And then my vest stays down and doesn't get on my... Literally and figuratively is what happens with that vest if I wear the wrong kind of leggings. Dramatic pause.
I've done the same as well, where I've worn strange things. Leggings wise, I've stuck to my guns with my leggings, but tops, I've worn weird things. I've not worn my bloody hydration vest properly. I've only done it once. So just goes to show I do need to.
Yeah, you do.
Do you think they will have water stations to some extent?
Yeah, they definitely will. And in fact, at the weekend when I went running, when I did that long, the long run I shouldn't have done, they, Relish, were putting on a race then. It was the 25th of July.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I ran past a big feed station. What was really nice to see was, I know, big smiles. Mm-hmm. What was lovely to see also, so they were setting up and it hadn't started yet, which is quite nice because I wouldn't have wanted to kind of suddenly launch into someone else's race. But what was nice there, so this was along the canal, is that even though it was a completely flat, direct, straight canal, it was waymarked brilliantly. So they do really, really good arrows and stuff. And they were clearly doing the same sort of thing. So there was... a 5 kilometer turnaround, a 10 kilometer
turnaround.
That was
the other thing I was going to ask, is I'm nervous I might end up doing the ultra or something because I get on the wrong path. But they very clearly kind of said this.
It was really clear. It was really clear. And they've marked it so well, which means that the turnaround point isn't a pinch point. You know, it's a nice wide section. So they'll do exactly the same.
Cool.
When we do the two tunnels, so
I'm actually getting really excited now, and this always happens, the nerves, it's a weird combo, isn't it?
Yeah,
and I'm sure I'll flip between for the next 2.5 weeks,
and I feel I've done a few more races than you, but not that many, and actually not that many organized ones. That, like, I've done the half a few
times.
You've
done quite a lot in lockdown, really.
Well, yeah, but I think that nerve thing is, I mean, it can be really off-putting, and I feel really nervous about running races. But what I'm trying to remember is that feeling of crossing a finish line of an organized race. And also, even actually, really good prep for it is parkrun.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try and get to a parkrun beforehand. It's a bit annoying, isn't it? Because a 5K is a little bit longer than probably the chill midweek runs I would do. Maybe it's about right. And a bit shorter than the long runs that I want to be doing in the lead up. So maybe it might have to be after, but I can't wait to do a park run.
Well, I know this is putting you on the spot, but I was going to suggest actually this weekend.
Can you do it before your camping?
I can't. So this is me sending you off into the unknown. But I was going to say, I mean, this weekend would be perfect if you could do your longer run on Monday, Tuesday, that you could go Saturday morning. But it would be a bit of a step into the unknown. So it would be, I would love to do it post the 15th of August for sure. But they've changed the start line of it. So you have to get there quite early. So instead, before I used to like rock up at like 8:58 and run out of my car and join the start line, and now it's just a little bit, it's the same route, but they're just starting it somewhere else, and I think they're doing that for some reason. I don't know, but it's probably to protect the grass or something. But it means
I thought it was going to be to do with the horrible doom of the world that we've been.
I don't think so.
Grass,
well, I don't know.
I don't know about that.
That's my guess, only because of where we used to congregate before the start line did used to get quite muddy. So it just made me think maybe they've kind of switched it up because it's on National Trust property, I think. So
I've never been to the Bath one.
Oh, so I really, really like it.
I'm really excited to go.
Yeah, it's really nice. My only issue with them changing the start line is that I'm so used to the route of it, and the end of the way that it's set out at the moment is on an ever such a slight kind of decline. So it feels really lovely finishing because you're running sort of slightly downhill. That's not the case. You'll be running along the flat, but it's a beautiful, beautiful route, and it's really nice. You just won't get a PB because there's steps.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I think, I'm excited to do that. I'm really excited for the race for the reason. I mean, I'm also very nervous, but I'm excited for the reason of being told where to go. That's why I'd like to go to a park run. That's why I would like to do this race.
Yeah.
I can't wait, because I think weirdly, the nerves of the whole thing we're talking about with sort of like perception of you and what other people are going to be thinking of you aren't a thing if you're doing a virtual race.
Yeah.
But nerves of the outcome really do play, and nerves of failure come in much more to play for me for virtual stuff.
Yeah.
Like particularly the Vitality 10K. Yep. I was really, really anxious because I wasn't 100% sure where I was going. And then a bit of the canal path that I was going to take was closed because they were doing some work on it. And so I had to suddenly change my route.
Yeah.
And I couldn't guarantee fully flat all the way. And yeah, there were bits like steps that were kind of getting in the way. I'm really, really looking forward to not having to check my Strava to find out how long I've been going for. I can't wait to see a big sign saying 4 kilometer point or whatever.
Yeah. Oh,
what a dream.
It's going to be lovely, isn't it?
It's going
to be lovely. And that was one thing I was going to say, was that with the parkrun thing, it does give you, it's like a mini race. I know it's not a race, but it's a mini, the concept, you have a starting pen and you have a finish funnel, so you don't have to think about how far you run for, and you still get the nerves, but they're kind of in miniature. And I think it's a really good practice for kind of bigger races, so I was quite pleased. I'd been doing that for the last few years, because it meant that when it came to like half marathons and things, I was like, right, okay, I know what's going on here, I know what these nerves mean, and I know when they're going to dissipate, kind of thing.
So, and they do, don't they? Like,
yeah.
I guess last time when I did the half, I was really, 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 really nervous. I get much more nervous that night before, morning of. I couldn't eat any breakfast because I was so anxious. Actually, weirdly, when I'm at the start line and when I'm doing the running, I'm okay. I used to be like that as well, like with anything I did in like plays as a child or whatever, where I would be really, really nervous the night before. And then as soon as I was doing it, I completely forgotten. And I definitely find it the same with running. I don't ever remember any bits of running in a race and being like, oh, I'm nervous while I run. It's just all beforehand, isn't it? So I just have to remind myself of that as soon as I start, it will be fine. And what's the point in ruining the lead up to it by being anxious for something that I'm not actually going to be anxious about while I'm doing it?
But it's
difficult to tell your brain things like that, because my brain's a bit of an idiot.
Yeah, well, likewise with mine. But yeah, it's definitely that kind of look. It's the kind of, you know, like my mum saying to me before the first day of secondary school or before I went to university, that kind of like, you know, everyone's feeling the same as you. She doesn't speak like that. That sounds like...
No, I always do that for my mum as well.
Yeah, she doesn't belong to Monty Python cast off.
Yeah, I've got a character for when I'm also doing an impression of my mum.
My mum is incredibly posh, so she really does not sound like Terry... What's his name from Monty Python? Anyway, so everyone does feel the same as you, particularly women, I think, because you're...
I think that's true.
Because we're nicer.
There's a big part. We are. We're just generally lovely. And I do think that there is a bit of a part of men throwing themselves headfirst into things. And, I mean, I'm making generalizations, but I think that's the experience that I have of men that I know who've done races compared to women. I think that there is always going to be a little bit more of a fear of of failure and embarrassing yourself. And for me, there's definitely a bit of an imposter syndrome of, should I really be at that start line? Are people going to be looking at me and going, oh, she's, you know, a bit of a lump and she doesn't look like she usually goes running? And that I think I, as a woman, definitely experience with anything remotely physical in life, that I think automatically I'm going to be crap at it. Actually, I want to turn that around this time and go, for those exact reasons, I'm going to be not necessarily the very, very best, but just the most determined.
I think, and bear with all of that in mind, this is why women are better endurance runners than men. And I'm probably repeating myself here, and in which case I'm really sorry, but well, I'm not that sorry, actually. It's worth repeating. that I know that there are fewer women that enter massive endurance, you know, scary ultras like the Spine Race and stuff like that. But the women that rock up on the start line are fully prepared.
Yeah.
So there are far more men, but in that sea of men, there are far fewer men that are as prepared as that smaller group of women. And because men have more confidence, so they just think, well, if I turn up, I'll probably be able to do it with a little bit of training, sort of thing. And so and this always, it cheered me at the last half marathon we did, and it's cheered me at races before, where you know that bloke, like, you know, when you're running and there's a bloke that overtakes you and then immediately slows down.
Yeah, and then 10 minutes later you spot him again.
Yes, exactly.
Going off in the distance behind you.
Yeah, as though he's like a little wind-up toy. So you wind him up, off he goes, slows down, walks, wind him up, runs, walks. And I've had that bloke overtake me in a kind of elbows out way to almost immediately stop and walk. And then I feel like he's tailed me and can spot me and is trying to kind of cue. And it's just like, look, mate, just slow down, you know.
Plod. Oh my gosh, plod.
Yeah. What is wrong with plodding? And you'd make it round way more comfortably. You wouldn't be stopping, you know, all of that kind of thing. So I do. Let's feel sorry for those ones.
Yeah.
And be confident in our own training, on our own abilities, and women generally as being a bit bloody brilliant, really.
Yeah, doing our homework.
Yep.
And which is something I'm very determined to do this time, because I know that I was a bit lax last time. And the times that I do train really hard and train properly are the times that I really enjoy the race.
Yeah.
Like the half marathons. And I knew that I didn't really do as much homework as I should have done for my 10K last time. And that's why I didn't like it as much. So once again, women are great. Because we prepare for things.
We do.
And we shouldn't have to be in a position where we feel like we must prepare to the T because we're automatically need more help than men, that we automatically need to put more work in than men. But
no, we just like to be prepared.
As a result of a nasty patriarchal sort of system, we are actually the best.
Yeah, because we're over prepared.
Yeah. And that's that, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come back for our next workshop in a fortnight's time to listen in to Holly and I as we get proper nervy before race day. This podcast was recorded over Zoom. The editor and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. Podcast listeners can claim the best discount we have for membership to Women's Running, which is 35% off. That's less than $2.95 a month. And for that, you get our brilliant magazine, and you also get loads of money off the sorts of stuff you love, like kit, nutrition, and class memberships. Go to shop.womensrunning.co.uk and enter WRPOD at the checkout for your discount. Happy running.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend.
But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.